There we go. Well, good morning again. We are in Revelations chapter 3 still. And we're going to be looking at our new church. It's the Church of Philadelphia. All right, before we go on any further, Rupert, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord Yeshua, aid us in taking this message into our hearts and applying it in our lives. And also, aid us in hearing your guiding voice each day. We know that you speak in a still small voice. Help us to calm ourselves so that we can hear that voice and follow your guidance for each of our lives as we go through them every day. Let us shine that light that is the love of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the precious name, we pray.
Amen. All right. The Church of Philadelphia, beginning with verse 7 of chapter 3 of Revelation. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. When he opens, no one can shut, and when he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down before your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming, that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming, hold on to what you have, so that no evil will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, we've been talking about what we can learn from the past with the seven churches of Asia. Some of the things that we have learned, you know, up to this point. We have learned that the past can pay a heavy price when we leave our first love. Remember with the Church of Ephesus, they left the first love. And so they paid a heavy price. A second thing that we have learned from the past is that to follow Jesus, to truly follow Jesus, it's costly. Whether it be persecution like they felt it, imprisonment, or even death. And Jesus, in following him, is costing. If it's not costing you anything, we may not be doing it right. We have learned that we should never compromise with the world because it causes us to suffer spiritually. It causes us to suffer mentally. It causes us to suffer emotionally and physically. So compromising comes with a price. We also learn that tolerating idols and idolatry has a price also. We also learn that if we keep our guard up, we'll do fine. But if you let your guard down, what happens? Satan will climb over the wall and take the city or take the church. We've learned that some churches may think they're alive, but they're actually dead, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. But Philadelphia, we can learn some things of blessings. Philadelphia is another church, there's only two, another church that does not receive any condemnation against from Jesus. It's all going to be blessings. So we can learn from the blessings that Jesus talks about with the Church of Philadelphia, and things that are exciting, I think really pertain to us, and are very significant to us in our own ministry. It was probably, of all the seven churches of Asia, the city of Philadelphia was the youngest. Sardis, as we've talked about, was the oldest, but Philadelphia was the youngest. It's 28 or 30 miles southeast of Sardis. That doesn't, you know, we need a map to find out where all that is. But it was founded by Attalus II, who named it Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, because of his love for his brother. That's where the name came from, because he loved his brother. And he named it after him. Philadelphia was meant to be a new Athens. That was their goal. When they built Philadelphia, they wanted it to be the new Athens, because when the Romans came in, they took over everything and they started throwing out all the Greek stuff. And so, at least Philadelphia, they were hoping would be the new Athens, but it didn't quite happen that way. One of the things about Philadelphia that none of the other churches had, it had a very rich soil because of volcanic ash. They grew grapes that nobody else could grow. They were well known for the grapes, and I'm sure because of the grapes, they probably, you know, they made wine out of it. And if you know, if you have grapes to wine, you know it, who their god was that they followed was Dionysus, because he's the one who was the god of wine, parties, and debauchery. We talked about him before. But something also happened to Philadelphia, like it did Sardis. A great earthquake leveled the city. And you think about it, and I was thinking, when this earthquake has hit Turkey, it's the same thing. It just reminds you of what we're talking about, because there were several churches, 10 churches at that time, or 10 cities that were almost completely devastated because of earthquakes. And I can't imagine how many lives must have been lost during those earthquakes. But the people of Philadelphia, when the city started having earthquakes, and there was a lot of aftershocks, apparently. And so what the people did is they moved out into the countryside, because Philadelphia must have been at the epicenter and had shock after shock after shock. And people, you can imagine what it would do to your nerves and your mental health if you were constantly in fear of something like this going to happen. And so it was bad enough and often enough that the people left the city, and the city virtually became abandoned. Jesus identifies himself, I think it's very significant. He identifies himself as the Word of the Holy One. Throughout the Bible, we see God is referred to as the Holy One. You know, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are all in one. They're the true ones, true one, the true Trinity. And here he's telling them in Philadelphia that you worship the true one, you worship the Holy One. The second thing he talks about is that he is the key to David. And he's talking about that Messiah. He's talking about as the lineage came down through the years to Jesus, that Jesus is the key to everything. And that's what he's telling the Church of Philadelphia, that I am the key to everything. I'm the key to everlasting life. I have the keys to Hades. I have the keys to death. I have the keys to everything. And I have the keys to David. I have all that lineage. And all the kingdoms, I have the keys to. And I like what he says, this part. He says that he has the ability, when he opens the door, no man can close it. But when he shuts the door, no man can open it. And I know a lot of times in our prayers we'll ask God, God, please open the door for this. Open the door for that. Open the door that we might do this. One of the great things that happens in Philadelphia, they have an opportunity because of their obedience that God opens the door to several things. They have a great missionary. If we want to say some of the first missionary groups that went out, they went out from Philadelphia. They had a great opportunity. It was one of the first things that through that open door that Jesus is talking about with obedience. They really go out and share the gospel as missionaries to the surrounding cities and those places around them. And they have a wonderful return, apparently. Jesus says that I am the door. I am the door of opportunity. That you can't open that door except Jesus Christ says open that door. And we could try and we could try and we could try. But until Jesus opens that door, there's nothing we can do. But Philadelphia, the door was open. You could call it the church of the open door. You know, this is a very big thing that we don't want to miss. You have little strength. You think about this. Philadelphia was a small congregation. Jesus was telling them, you're not the mega church. You're not a huge church. You're not a big First Baptist. You're not a big cathedral or anything. He said, you're a small church. But what Jesus is telling them, you may be a small congregation. I want you all to hear this. Because you think about us. We may be a small congregation, but what? God can do great things through us. Doesn't necessarily have to happen in the church, but through us as a congregation. And I think there's opportunities, and when God opens those opportunities, we need to take them. Now, the Church of Philadelphia may not have had a big congregation, but what they had was obedient to God. And they did whatever God told them to do, and their faith was very great, and they trusted in God. Just like us, our faith is where we are. Our faith is what we stand on. Our faith is what we can be. And we can do great things. Great things through that obedience and trust in Jesus. No matter how small we are. No matter how small. We know God has something in store for Mount Vernon. Amen? Because you all have kept the doors open for a reason. And there's no telling what God's going to do. It's kind of exciting when you think about the privilege and the opportunity that you have, that we have, to be used by God in some great ways. I don't know what they are. If you know what they are, share them with us. But God does know, doesn't he? Isn't it fun to be part of what God has in store for us? We don't have any idea what it is. Philadelphia had no idea what it was. But they grew. People were saved because of their obedience. And that's the important thing. It doesn't matter how small. It just matters how big our faith is. And that's what we stand on. In Christ we can do what? All things. As long as our spirit's big. And as long as we don't forget God. And as long as we have our faith and trust in him, he's going to do great things. He's going to do great things. He goes on to say that I know your works. You think about this. The other churches, you know, that we talked about, the ones that had the condemnation, that Jesus was telling them a good thing, then a bad thing. But at least here in Philadelphia, he said, I know your works, and it's none of it's bad. How would you like Jesus to write us a letter and say, listen, you all, I can't say anything bad about you. Your faith is strong. You're doing what you should do. You're doing what I've asked you to do. And you're growing in obedience. Just to give you a hint how long this lasted, the congregation at Philadelphia lasted 1,200 years before it was gone. That's a long time. Can you imagine our influence here lasting 1,200 years? That's a long time. But it did. I know your works. He's saying, if you sing it for him. If you give out a cold cup of water, give it out for him in his name. No matter whether you teach, preach, or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. That's what he's telling them. I know that's what you do. I know that's what you do. And Jesus is giving them praise for what they do. He goes on, he says, behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. Can you imagine the door that he opens up? And this was a door of opportunity. This was a door of being missionaries. And their opportunity, they took advantage of it. Because they believed in what God told them. They believed what God told them they could be. They believed when God told them, they believed in his word and they were obedient to it. They shared the gospel. It can be discouraging. It can be sad when God opens the door of service and opportunity. And you think about this. If God opens the door of opportunity and we're too afraid to go through it, we're too apprehensive, or we're too busy to go through it, that's a shame. Because if there's an opportunity, there's no telling what he'll do with us and through us. But when he opens it, nobody can close it. When he closes it, nobody can open it. And you see this happen in countries. When God opens the door to a certain country and we send missionaries over there, and there's a great revival. God has opened that door. And there's times that God also shuts the door. And there's nothing we can do about it until he decides to reopen it. But think about this. Divine opportunities is quickly followed by satanic opposition. You think about that. It always happens this way. When divine opportunities happen, it is quickly followed by satanic opposition. If you're trying to do what God wants you to do, it seems like everything around you goes wrong. He'll do anything he can to discourage us. Satan will do anything he can to stop us. The first thing he puts in our mind is doubt. Doubt is one of the biggest killers in a Christian's faith. We doubt. Well, God didn't call me to do this, or God didn't call me to do that, or this is not what God wants us to do, or that's not what God wants us to do. And we begin to doubt, and so we pay the price. Don't doubt. Keep doing what God has asked you to do until he tells you to stop. But I promise, and keep that in mind, if you don't hear anything else, your divine opportunities, God's opportunities he gives to you, is always going to follow behind something Satan is trying to do to discourage you or cause you to give up or cause you to doubt. So don't let him. Don't give him that chance. He goes on to say, and has kept my word. You kept my word. You believe what I've said. You've preached what I've said. You tell others what I've said. And so that's the reason why there's people being saved and going on and on. And it just spreads like wildfire. You know, Karen was talking about the revival going on in Asbury. I would love for that thing to break loose. And it spread all the way out through Kentucky. As the old farmer said, it slop over on us. And let us be part of it. Wouldn't you love that? How about if a great revival started here? Here. That's always been my dream, is that a revival would break out in the middle of a service. And it would go on and on and on. Until the Lord says, all right, it's enough. But wouldn't that be wonderful? But if my people were called by my name. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and what? Pray. We will see his face, and he will be our God. So keeping his word's important. Reading it, studying it, following God's word. He goes on and he says, and hast not denied my name. You know, we know that poor Peter denied Jesus. He denied knowing Jesus. And a lot of people want to get up and, you know, and talk about how awful Peter was for doing that. But the sad thing is, the world sees Christianity in a very negative light. Not because of the Christians who are trying to do something, not because they're, well, evil's in the world, but we're Christians give a negative light because a lot of Christians are argumentative, a lot of Christians are condescending, a lot of Christians are lofty, a lot of Christians, you know, think they're higher, but we're not. We should be very humble. We should be very trusting in God and following what God wants us to do. That's our challenge, is that we can't get in our own way. We have to let Jesus take it and do what Jesus would have us to do. And we don't want to deny him. A lot of Christians deny him by their actions, by their words, by the way they do stuff. You know, we can go down a list of things that I could tell you that Christians that I know that are judgmental. They're exclusionary. And I can't believe a church would say we only want a certain type of people, but there are those who believe that. Argumentative. We need to be inclusive, not exclusive. We need to be open and not closed. We need to love and not hate. Don't look for reasons to discard somebody. Look for reasons to include somebody. Right? Jesus went to the worst of the worst, didn't he? And thank God he did. You know? He went to the prostitutes and the thieves and the murderers and the robbers. Jesus went to all of them. He didn't look at them and say, you need to change first. He just says, I love you. I love you. Now, I'm going to give my life for you. And he was not judgmental of them. He just loved them. He goes on to say, behold, I will have them to come and worship before thy feet. And I know I love thee. Jesus is saying that your enemies out there, they're enemies. But all you've got to do is share the gospel with them. And that's, once you do that, you're done. That you can't make anybody accept Jesus. You can't make anybody want to be saved. You can't make anybody make a decision. All you can do is talk to them about Jesus. The opportunity. And I know that he loves us. And then you have kept the word of Christ in patience, waiting for his return. When Jesus talked about his return, they believed he was coming back then. You know, we always talk about when Jesus can come back in our lifetime, but we don't know that. It may be another 1,000 years from now. You know, we believe and we think he's going to come back at any time, and he could. It's not up to us to say. But we have to wait for his return. Keeping his word, study his word, read his word, stand on his word, and don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. You know, I love football. And my team, I will watch them to the last seconds, hoping they're going to come back. You wait till the end to see what's going to finally happen, don't you? Now let's wait upon God. And let's see how it ends. We know what the Bible says. Satan's going to lose no matter how hard he tries. But when trials come, don't give in or run away. When ridicule comes in, don't give in or run away. When hate is thrown at you, don't give in or run away. Be faithful. And he says, and behold, I come quickly. Well, as you know, through the Bible, God's timetable and our timetable are two different things. God's timetable, when he says, I'll come quickly, he means when it happens, it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quickly. Just in a blink of an eye is when he returns. I'm going to give you a new name. A new name. Have you ever thought about your new name? It's what he's going to give us. Well, you didn't turn my phone off, right? I didn't turn this out. That's all right.
It's a good thing it wasn't a trumpet. Otherwise, we'd all been jumping up.
I was thinking, it was wireless, so I was thinking, is that the Lord calling us? Is he telling me to shut up and go on? In conclusion, which was perfect timing, be faithful in God's word. Don't deny him by your life. Let others see Jesus in you. Like the song says, let people see Jesus in me. Be patient with yourself, with others, and be patient with God. Always be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you that we can trust in you. And Father, we don't know what you have in store for Mount Vernon Baptist Church, but we know it's great things. Father, when we read in the Church of Philadelphia, we see a small congregation. We're a small congregation. You've opened the door of opportunities. We know the door of opportunity is there. Help us to understand when you want us to do it, how you want us to do it, and that we'll run through that door and share the gospel and let the people know Jesus is truly alive and God's love is truly still here. Father, just bless each one that is here this morning, each one that is listening to us or watching us this morning, and I thank you for that. May our attempts always go out and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ms. Gable, what hymn do we have?
308.
Let's all stand.
ready for moving and all, but it's actually kind of a little frustrating.
It is very frustrating. I felt like the realtor took advantage of them because they didn't even get the earnest money.
Oh.
They had two people back out, and the realtor each time had an excuse.
Well, what happened for us, what happened was we didn't get even to that point because they made an offer. We made a counter offer, and they were like, no. There he is.
Here you go.
Yeah.
So we dropped the farm down to 350. Farm and two almost complete houses. So very reasonable. If you look around the area, we're definitely so it's the Lord's will. You have a blessed week.
There's a facility here. A lady who had been praying for it for a year, but she didn't have proper credit.
Huh?
It took her a year to go get it. She had always paid cash for everything, so she didn't have any credit, so she went and got her credit card. She ended up with it, and she was the one that wanted it all along.
And her daughter,
I guess I better go. You guys are
You don't have to. You're going to go.
Well, I was going to tell you, we didn't have an offer.
I'm just waiting for it to reboot now.
Okay.
So I got it.
Mount Vernon Baptist. Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church.
It's a perfect size.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Which
one happened?